Hello and welcome to Nightcap with Jim. I'm the titular Jim, and tonight we have a new installment of Jim Goes to the Movies. So we'll be discussing Mile 22 and The Meg. For more content you may enjoy, please check out our Morning Mangami podcast and our other social media content at Mangami Players on Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, and YouTube. Let's get into it. All right, so before we begin, I did want to take a little moment to apologize for there not being two episodes last week. I just didn't have anything that was worthy enough of your time and attention, so, you know, I decided to skip it. An update in the future, coming up in a little while, a couple of weeks, I'm going to be changing the format a little bit in terms of how many episodes are going to be released. Really focusing on just making sure I'm getting you guys the most quality podcasts I possibly can. Anyway, let's start. Yesterday I went to see Mile 22, and today I went to see The Meg. And I figure let's start talking about The Meg. So we got directed by for you, if you don't know what the story is, it's the story of these guys who are running the deep sea lab to explore this region of the ocean that they believe has been hidden from the world for a long time. And, expect to find all kinds of new species down there. Spoiler alert, they do. And they find a megalodon, which is the largest shark ever. And have believed to have been extinct for several million years. And things go awry. Let me start out by saying this. It's actually not that bad. It was surprisingly decent, I have to say, I went in there, knowing what the movie was going to be, and it actually wasn't what I thought. Usually when people make a movie like this, it turns into this kind of, B-movie, wink at the camera kind of thing, like, you get it, this isn't really that serious. But these guys actually went for it and decided to try and make a serious movie about a megalodon shark. And I think they did a fair job, really good performances. The direction wasn't that bad at all. John Turteltaub was the director. He's done some meh movies like The Sorcerer's Apprentice, some eh movies like National Secret, and actually one of my favorite movies, Phenomenon, with John Travolta. But he did a pretty good job on this one. Of course, with the cast, we have Jason Statham, we have Bing Bing Lee, Rainn Wilson, Cliff Curtis, Winston, oh, can't read my own handwriting here, hang on, Winston Chow, there we go, Shuya Sophia Kai, Paige Kennedy, Robert Taylor, Jessica McNamee, Masioka, and Ruby Rose. Now, I want to take a minute to jump off topic here and talk about Ruby Rose for a second. I'm a fan of hers, and if you know anything about Ruby Rose, you will know that there's been some controversy in recent weeks, which has caused her to delete her social media because people are hating on her for being cast as Batwoman. And I just want to take time to say to all you haters out there who may listen to this and may have been a part of the onslaught that forced this actress to delete her social media, you can go fuck yourself, all right? One, they're an actor, okay? They really don't deserve the kind of vile, despicable, just horrible shit that you're throwing at them. And, they're just not worthy and worth that much time and effort for you to be such a complete dickhead. It really pisses me off when people do this. And, you know, another great example of this is the actress who played Rose in Star Wars, The Last Jedi. All you people out there, if any of you listen to this podcast, just shut up. For one thing, it's just a goddamn movie, okay? It's really not worth all that emotion to be such a jerk to somebody, you know? Like, and especially if you, you know, Christian, what would Jesus think, all right? I mean, seriously, you know? I don't understand how anybody can justify being such an unbelievable ass to somebody that they don't even know about a fictional character in a movie, in a motion picture. That just, I don't understand that at all. You know what I mean? Just stop, you know? Like, stop being such a jerk. Anyway, moving on. the movie, The Meg. Yeah, it was actually really cool. I really dug it, you know? It's not like the best movie I've ever seen. But it's decent, you know? The story's pretty all right. You know, I feel like they did a pretty good job with it. I don't want to say too much because I don't want any spoilers or anything like that. Statham does a good job. Rainn Wilson is pretty fantastic as always. I mean, if you don't like Rainn Wilson, you're just not living life right, you know? I mean, he was amazing in The Office. He was sublime and super. The short-lived TV series he did, Backstrom, was really good, you know? And he delivers once again in this movie, you know? And we do have a really good cast, you know, including Paige Kennedy. Here's a little fun fact for you. Heath is a big Paige Kennedy fan, and I have to say I am as well, you know? I mean, I pretty much only know him for his acting career, but, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've seen him pop up in something, you know, like his small role in Justified, and, you know, and he was also in Backstrom with Rainn Wilson, and, you know, just so many things. And you know, of course, his turn in Blue Mountain State, which was just fantastic. I mean, but yeah, man, just really good cast, and it's all put together pretty well, you know. Obviously, you can't talk about a shark movie without talking about Jaws, and you know, definitely, there's nothing that's ever going to compare to Jaws. Not even the sequels to Jaws can compare to Jaws. You know, you can't even make a shark movie without having references at some point to Jaws as well, because it's the king of all shark movies. You know, it's the gold standard. It's the best, and it always will be, at least for the foreseeable future. There's plenty of Jaws references in this film. For instance, when these guys go after the Meg after it attacks the after it escapes from this like the deep area that it's been living in for however long, and starts going on its rampage, these guys track it down, and you know, they throw a person in a shark cage into the water just like Jaws. The shark drags the boat backwards like Jaws. You know, all kinds of stuff like that. I think it's fantastic, you know? I mean, because this movie, it's like I said, excuse me, it's the kind of movie that just, it is what it is, you know? But I think, you know, like, the best way I think I can describe it is, this is a movie with this is a B-movie idea that has an A-movie budget, and I would say an A-movie execution, which makes it, at the very least, a B-plus movie. You know, if not an A-movie with a silly premise. Or, I mean, maybe not silly, but, you know, just outlandish and outrageous. But the execution is there. And then, just a little fun fact for you, Statham does a lot of his own stunts in this movie as per usual, including a lot of swimming, and one of the reasons for this is he's actually an expert swimmer, and he actually was in competition in 1990 representing the Commonwealth. So that's cool. I always love it when actors go and do their own stunts. Sometimes it gets dangerous, though. I heard Ruby Rose actually almost drowned while making the movie, so stuff can go wrong, and so you got to be careful with the stunts and stuff. It's based on a novel, this film as well, and there's plenty of changes. So if you know the novel and you haven't seen the film yet, just be aware. As per usual, when it comes to adapting material, there's going to be changes that are necessary. Like, for instance, one of the changes that they made was to the appearance of the Megalodon. In the book, it is described to have translucent skin and only attacks during the nighttime because the sun blinds it. So they had to change that. They had to change the look of the shark because it was just too hard to render digitally. And I personally like that they didn't restrict the Megalodon to only nighttime attacks and let him attack in the daytime because, well, that's when I like my action scenes. I like my action scenes in the daytime as much as possible. I understand that daytime is only 12 hours out of the day, but, I just like to see stuff. this movie also brings up a couple of interesting points about sharks, namely that of shark killing. Now, this is another thing that really gets me riled up. I am so sick and tired of seeing these news stories about people killing sharks, because sharks are awesome. They scare the crap out of me, don't get me wrong, but they're magnificent animals, and why are you killing them? I mean, a lot of people kill them, like some people kill them for shark fin soup and crap like that. And then some people just kill them because they're assholes. And I'm sick of it, I'm sick and tired of this crap. I mean, so many beautiful, wonderful animals have been lost from this world or are nearing extinction because human beings suck. We do, I mean, whether it's through industrialization of the planet or through people just being dicks and going out and hunting them, it sucks. I mean, one of my favorite movies that tackles this kind of subject matter is a movie called The Hunter with Willem Dafoe. And he's sent to Tasmania to hunt a Tasmanian tiger, and because there have been reports that one has been spotted roaming around there, and I'm not going to tell you what happens, whether there is in fact a tiger or not, but it's just like, why would you want to do that? Why do you want to go and kill sharks? I mean, some people do it because of sharks' negative portrayals in film, and it's, I'm sick of it. It's just like, again, it's just a goddamn movie. There's no reason for you to go and kill a shark because you're afraid of getting eaten by a shark because you saw Jaws one too many times or because you watched Sharknado and were like, oh my god, what if there was a hurricane and it actually did, like, pick up a bunch of sharks and then fling them at me, man. It's like, are you Donald Trump stupid or something? Just stop it and stop being a jerk, Gosh. Brr. Stop killing the sharks. They're nice guys if you just, they're nice animals if you just leave them alone, for crying out loud. Anyway, I'm going to take a quick break. Try and calm down a little bit before my head explodes, and we'll be back to talk about Mile 22, where I'm sure my head will explode again because I read a very unfavorable review and I plan on telling that person off. I'm getting a little angry, getting my blood pressure up a little bit this episode. Anyway, be right back, taking a quick break, calming down. I'm going to do some Zen breathing, and then chill out. So I'll be right back.
I don't usually give Jim any praise, but I'm going to have to because he's single-handedly keeping movie theaters alive. So thanks, man. Thanks for doing that. But hey, if you like this podcast and you want to hear more Mungo Me podcasts, check out Morning Mungo Me, our morning show, 8 a.m. Eastern Time, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and we have Sunday specials. You got to check out the specials.
All right, so we're back. I've calmed down a little bit. but like I said, I'm probably going to get angry again. So let's try and get, let's just get that right out of the way after I talk about the movie a little bit, let you know what the deal is. So it's another collaboration, and I've talked about these guys before, between Peter Berg, director, and Mark Wahlberg, actor. If you don't recall, they also did Lone Survivor, Deepwater Horizon, and Patriot's Day together, all great movies. And this one is no exception in my humble opinion. The basic story is Mark Wahlberg plays this team leader of these special operators, these black ops guys, and they have a very unique way of doing things. One of which is that before they go into the field on an operation, they all sign letters of resignation from the Central Intelligence Service or whatever intelligence agency they happen to be working for at that time, so that they literally do not work for the American government. You know, it's not just like, oh, they don't work for us, wink, wink. They literally don't work for the United States when they go on these operations, which is, I think, super interesting. And so what happens is there's this cesium-139 that's out there in the world, and these guys are tracking it, trying to find it and get it out, you know, get it out of the open so it doesn't fall into the wrong hands. And a gentleman comes to them saying that he has the information that they seek, and but he'll only give it to them if they get him out of the country. So these guys have to rock 22 miles through a dangerous city with Russians and the home country's, questionable morality wise police and special forces guys coming after them horde. So it's pretty exciting movie. I wrote the dude's name down, but I think that would be bad form to call him out. This review that I read, and it was just the most hateful fucking thing I've read in a long time. I mean, and it's all wrong too, you know what I mean? Like, it's not this flag waving pro US propaganda film. Mark Wahlberg's character in this film is pretty abrasive, you know, verbally towards even his compatriots. And part of the reason for that is because he's got some sort of, you know, like, there's a bit in the movie where he goes out, and it's in the trailer, he goes out and, you know, has a tete-a-tete with a guy in the middle of the street, and he's, you know, exposed out in the open, could get killed, shot in the face, but he goes out there to, you know, be like, hey, what's up, I'm gonna take your ass down, and, you know, and it's, and I just lost my train of thought there for a second. Oh, wow. I just lost it. I just totally lost what I was talking about. Sorry. But yeah, no, this, it's just, this review was just so hateful, you know, in the begin, the credit sequence of the film is to set up Mark Wahlberg's character, that's what it is. Okay, I got it. I'm back. I got it back. And so John Malkovich's character, who plays, you know, the tech support team leader, he's like, Jimmy, stop monologuing, you bipolar son of a bitch. And all the tech people in the room go around one by one saying, oh no, dissociative identity disorder or narcissistic whatever, blah 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 blah, maybe he's just an asshole, and stuff like that. So you know, it could be any one of those or any combination of those, you know. And also, this is a guy who has genius level intellect. So throughout the film, you know, he's very much derisive. He has a very derisive attitude towards pretty much everybody because he is the smartest guy in the room, literally. You know, and it's just a real shame because I feel like some people don't like this movie because they don't see how Mark Wahlberg could, you know, they don't see Mark Wahlberg as a person with genius level intellect. And that kind of bothers me in a way because he is a very smart guy, and he's also one of the most accomplished actors out there. And one of the reasons I say this is because he's one of the few, if not the only actor I know of, that actually memorizes the entire script when he gets when he does a movie. And when I say the entire script, I mean everything, like not just his lines, everybody's lines. So he knows exactly where he is at any one time in the story when he's given his performance. And, you know, he shows up to work ready to go, and he's not fucking around. You know, he's going to get the job done. And he's not going to be like, oh, what's the line? What's the line? No, he knows everybody's lines. So it's just like, boom, professionalism. And then this review goes on to say stuff, you know, like it's edited to within an inch of its life, which... I mean, it's not. And he says, like, oh, he's trying to make a Michael Bay movie or a Paul Greengrass movie. And it's like, dude, obviously you forgot that this guy made Lone Survivor and Deepwater Horizon and Patriot's Day. So what the fuck are you talking about? It's the Peter Berg style, you know? Like, it's from Friday Night Lights to The Kingdom to Lone Survivor to... Deepwater, Patriots, and Mile 22, that's the Peter Berg style. So, what the hell are you talking about? He complains about a lack of martial arts moves from the actor in the film who's most notably known for his martial arts films. And just all this other crap that's just, like, I don't understand how this person says this stuff. Because it just makes me feel like we're not watching the same movie. You know, I just don't get it. But anyway, fuck you, Mr. Reviewer. Like, that's the thing I hate about critics, is that a lot of critics, it seems like, don't actually watch the goddamn movies that they're trying to criticize or review. So, I mean, there's, you know, so many, that's why I very rarely read reviews, because, like, I just have read so many where it's just like, you obviously weren't watching the same movie as I was. You know what I mean? Like, incoherent story. It's like, this story couldn't be simpler. It's literally a one-sentence story. Guy has information, wants to leave country, get the guy to the place, shit ensues. I mean, how much simpler do you need the story to be for you to understand it? Anyway, moving on. Now I'm past the angry part of this segment. We'll get into the good stuff. All right. So the majority of the film, with the exception of the opening, takes place in fictional Indycar City in Southeast Asia, but it was actually shot on location in Bogota, Colombia, and this is really funny for a couple of reasons. Normally, films that, because they didn't want to film in Southeast Asia for safety concerns for the cast and crew, but movies that typically take place in Bogota, Colombia, are typically filmed in Mexico for the exact same reason, and you know, so on and so forth. There's other examples, but I just think that's hilarious. But apparently they were all good, because the Colombian president actually showed up on set one day, and Peter Berg, from what I heard, apparently let him make an attempt at shooting one of the filming one of the action sequences of the film, which is just like, how cool is that? That is a cool president right there. That's like, hello, I'm on the film set. What's up, guys? And Peter Berg's like, hey, man, we want to shoot some stuff? And the Colombian president's like, yeah, let's do it. That's just really cool. Great cast, amazing cast. Mark Wahlberg, obviously. John Malkovich, as I mentioned. Ronda Rousey. I'm probably going to butcher this, but Uwais. And you might know him if you've seen The Raid Redemption or The Raid 2, which are two amazing movies. Oh my god, those are so good. Definitely going to do an episode about those in the future. And of course, the lovely, the talented, the wonderful, the fantastic Lauren Cohen of Walking Dead fame. And I gotta say, Maggie from The Walking Dead is straight up a badass. But Lauren Cohen's character in this film is just ultra badass. Like, so badass, it's ridiculous. There is a lot of cursing in this movie, I have to say. A lot. And a lot of very fast dialogue, especially from Mark Wahlberg's character. And again, that comes back to his genius level intellect and whatever maybe social disorder he has. Because his mind just moves so fast. A million miles a minute. And so he rattles off dialogue at a machine gun-like pace. It's ridiculous. I mean, Machine Gun Kelly would listen to this dialogue and be like, that's too fast. but it's amazing, you know, and there's just a lot of great performances, and it's a very fast movie. It's an hour and 33 minutes total runtime, but you cut off, you know, 5, 6, 7 minutes for credits, and it's like, you know, an hour 25, basically. So it's a very fast movie, you know, it's keep on going, just move. And that's awesome, you know, it's just really just keep the pace up and the thrills and the excitement and the action, just go. And I can't wait to see it again because I just really enjoyed it. I've thoroughly. And I'm super excited because I found out before it came out that it's actually part of a... because they Peter Berg and Mark Wahlberg announced it at Comic-Con that this movie is actually the first of a proposed trilogy, which I am super excited for, I went into the movie theater expecting it to be up to the, you know, Wall... Berg standees of just kick-ass, you know, movie making, and I was not disappointed. So if these guys get to make another two of these movies, I'm just gonna be so psyched, because I really liked it a lot, you know, and it's just, it goes somewhere you don't really expect. I mean, like I said, the story is about as simple as it can get, you know. It's just, we need to get this guy from point A to point B and save the world, and stuff just keeps going wrong, you know, every 5 minutes. You know, just one more obstacle one more hurdle, one more hoop to jump through. And that's always a great way to make, you know, an action movie. I mean, that's pretty much how all action movies are, and TV shows and stuff. You know, it's just like, let's just throw one more obstacle in these guys' path. We're not making it easy. but yeah, it was just really cool. I think it's just a really great action movie, you know, just really fun, intense, and it goes somewhere you don't expect, though, at the very end of the movie, and that's just amazing, you know. Not to spoil anything, but, you know, it made me think of Mission Impossible Fallout and the ending for that movie. And I'm not going to spoil the ending of Fallout either, but I will say this about it. For a moment at the end of Fallout, there was just this one moment where I thought, oh my god, that's how this movie's going to end. And I keep thinking about it over and over again, and I think, man, it would have sucked, but it would have been amazing at the same time. Like, if they had had the balls to end the movie like that. But I'm glad they didn't, but I'm also kind of like, oh, that would have just been the most incredible, just gutsy move. But Mile 22 kind of goes for it a little bit, you know? And they go for it for the entire movie, you know? And then you know, you come to the end and it's like, whoa, that's the end. That's crazy. So that's great. You know, I love gutsy, risky filmmaking like Mile 22, because it's just like, because it's very much like The Walking Dead in terms of just like, no one is safe. You know what I mean? Like, any character could bite it at any moment. And that makes it just so much more thrilling and exciting, because it really puts you on the edge of your seat. Like, no, don't do that. And then they do it. So it's just like, they really, you know, are going for it and taking risks with this film, Peter Berg and Mark Wahlberg and the writers. So I really appreciate that, you know. But yeah, it was awesome, you know. Oh boy. Yeah, it was good stuff, you know. I mean, some of the reviews out there really are just hateful, and you know, it's kind of like, did you even watch the movie? You know, so you know, I hope my review, my discussion of it, at least somewhat may allay some of your. Is that the right word? Allay? I don't think that's the right word. It could be. I haven't used allay in a long time, if I even have. I hope it might subside any hesitation on your part to consume this movie at some point in the near future, because I think it's worth it, man. And I'm gonna try and see it again in theaters as soon as I can, because I just really enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. But that's gonna be our show for tonight. Thank you so much for listening. Please tune into The Morning Show with Heath, and check out our other social media content at Mangami Players on Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, and YouTube. Thanks again so much for stopping by for a nightcap. Good night.